Today, we will be talking about Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, which is the story of Moses and the burning bush. Before the burning bush, Moses had already been chosen by God to do great things. Moses was born to a Hebrew family during a time when a bad king was having baby boys killed, but Moses' life was spared. He was hidden by his mother and discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, who raised Moses as her own. She named him Moses, which means drew him out of the water. Moses grew up a prince, strong and safe in the king's house. Later, Moses would go through very confusing and challenging events in his life, but God was preparing him for a very important purpose. God began to reveal its purpose to Moses at the burning bush. At the burning bush, God called Moses to do something very difficult. Not only did he ask Moses to return to Egypt and face Pharaoh, God was asking Moses to stand up for what was right and to address the poor treatment of the Israelites. Moses did not think he was the right man for the job, but God said that he would be with Moses and that he would give Moses everything that he needed to accomplish what God asked. Sometimes God calls us to be leaders and to stand up for what was right. God loves all of his children and wants all of his children to be blessed and treated fairly with respect and dignity. Sometimes we may feel like God is asking us to do a hard job, but we must remember that God is with us. He said, "I will be with you, and it is I who has sent you." Just like Moses, with the help of God, we can stand up for those with no voice. With the help of God, we can be leaders. With the help of God, we can accomplish great things. Thank you.
The children of the congregation were very concerned about what subject we should address in our sermon. We discussed the many challenges that we face in our world, our country, our state, our society, and our church and community. We could have addressed the environment and global warming, which many of us are concerned about. We could have still addressed the refugee crisis that we focused on last year and that continues to be a problem. We could have addressed the election, which many of us are concerned and confused by, but we felt that this scripture reading reflects our biggest concern as the future of our country and our world, and that is the oppressed in certain segments of our society. There are many people on this world who are oppressed and whom God sees being treated poorly and unkindly. These people are represented in movements like Black Lives Matter. There are people in this world who are judged by the color of their skin so often that they have to think it is part of their daily life and that they will be stopped by police. There are people in this world who come to expect being denied services, jobs, or smooth transitions through airport security because of their religion or their religious outfits. There are people in this world who are oppressed due to their mental condition. I tried to think of a time in my life where I was oppressed or treated poorly due to how I look. But though I have been bullied for having red hair, I don't think that rises to the level of oppression of people that God speaks of in Exodus. I don't want to stand up here and minimize the discrimination and oppression of people based on something they cannot change. There are people in this world who are not able to be honest about being gay. The rate of teenage suicide in gay high school students is the highest of any group of kids. These people are forced to hide who they are and hear on a daily basis that because they are gay, they will burn in hell or not be accepted or equal in their church or community or family. God is not taking them to the promised land. When you hear stories about how Muslims are treated, how they are called terrorists by people on the street and their mosques are vandalized and bombed, these people are being treated poorly and often feel oppressed because of their religion. I think, why is our society like this? Why do we allow this? Why does God allow this? You see, people are disabled in our society who get treated as though they are not as smart as those who are not disabled. How disheartening it was for me to watch Ruby in my choir last year. She was in a wheelchair bound due to multiple sclerosis and people who speak slowly to her just because she's in a wheelchair. People made assumptions about her based on her outward appearance, and her brain worked just as well as mine. I see how people with mental illnesses are suffering, and you cannot tell there is anything wrong with them. They feel shame because of their illness, and when their friends tell them to just ignore it, go get a job, to man up, they feel devastated because they would give anything to not be ill, to not have stress or be able to be part of society. God allows them to suffer with illness and does not take them to the promised land. Then you hear about Black Lives Matter movement, and you hear how an entire segment of our population is being systematically oppressed, and God can observe the misery of these people. You hear that barely 50% of African American males will graduate high school, and that one of these black males born today will end up in prison in their lifetime. You see how black men go out into work being targeted by the police, and even our president speaks of being stopped for no reason when he is driving out in his car. I can't imagine how that would make someone feel. I cannot imagine how I would feel if I were treated differently than everyone else because of my skin color and if my opportunities would be limited because of that same reason. We take it for granted that our lives are not like that, and yet God allows these people, his people, to suffer. He sees their suffering, he sees their oppression. He does not send a prophet down to lead them to the promised land. Now in Exodus we read that God speaks to Moses, and he tells Moses to lead his promised people to the promised land. And Moses does what God tells him to, and he saves God's people and leads them to the promised land. I am not sure that the Old Testament is the answer to today's problems. I do not expect God to come down today and speak to a prophet through a burning bush and tell him or her to lead his people to the promised land. I am not sure we would be ready to listen to that and follow his prophet. I am not sure there is land that we would follow his prophet to, and I'm not sure that we would be willing to follow someone unless there was an app telling us to do so. We read in the New Testament the words of Jesus, and Jesus told us to love thy neighbor, and that what you have done to others, you have done to me. He tells his disciples that when he gets hungry, you feed him. When he was naked, you clothed him. And when he was in prison, you visited him. When they asked when he had been naked, hungry, or in prison, Jesus told them, when you did those things to others, you did them to me. This tells me that God is telling us that the promised land is here, this place, and we have to bring everyone into this place. We have to show society that we know that they are all God's children and that they all have value, and God does not make mistakes. And he made each and every person in his image, and they are each perfect. We need to say that Black Lives Matter, and no one should be dejected or feel that it is okay for one or three of your population to end up in prison. If that were true of my race, would it be okay if one of my brothers would expect to be in prison in their lifetime? No, I would not. But I cannot assume that because I am not black, it does not matter to me. It does. Our society is better when we are all included. We are all better when we help each other. When Jesus came to the woman who was about to be stoned to death because of her place in society, did he say, "She is not like you, go ahead, get rid of her. Cast her out, she is lesser than you." No, he embraced her. He told her and them that she was a child of God, and she was not perfect, but none of God's children are perfect. So before you start throwing rocks or oppressing others, you should make sure you are perfect. Wouldn't that be the way to create the promised land? Wouldn't you want to be part of a promised land where you felt valued and welcomed and you are appreciated for who you are in your unique, perfect self? I do not look for God to lead me to a new place. I expect all of us to realize that the new place and promised land starts in our hearts. I don't go to school and judge people on their color of their skin, who they love, how able-bodied they are, but the love in their hearts. And as Jesus taught me, if they judge me because I have red hair or two fathers or have too many brothers, I still love them, because in the end, love will win. The promised land starts here, and it starts with love. If those who feel oppressed by society or they did matter, how much better would our society be? How much richer would our lives be if more people graduated from high school? How much richer would our society be if we were closing all prisons and all people felt part of society? God invites us all to the promised land, and we can all get there when we love others, and then love our neighbors, and those who don't even know. Can I get an amen?
Amen.